Good morning. It is good to see all of you here and good to see your smiling faces. Today I'm going to be preaching about the truth. Our text comes this morning from John chapter 14 and verse 6, and I'd like to ask you to turn there in your Bibles, and when you do, those of you who are able, please stand as I read from God's Word. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that, God, you gave us your Son, Jesus, and He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, no matter what we try to accomplish, we can't get to heaven but by Jesus. And Father, open our hearts today. Let us receive from your word. Speak to us, Lord, we pray, in the holy name of Jesus. And Father, as I preach this message, let everything come from you through your Holy Spirit, dear God. And Lord, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we need to back up just a little bit before verse 6. Jesus was trying to give the disciples comfort because Jesus knew that the day was approaching when he was going to be betrayed, when he was going to be given up. He knew that the time was coming for him to be tried. He would be beaten and nailed to a cross. And he'd been trying to comfort his disciples with what was going to occur in the days ahead. And when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," we need to take a moment and reflect just who Jesus is. We need to get it straight in our hearts this morning that Jesus was not an ordinary man. Yes, Jesus was born in flesh, but Jesus was the only person who ever walked the face of this earth who knew no sin. Jesus was the only perfect man to ever take human form. Jesus, what we have to look at, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Word. We know in the Bible that the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And when Jesus is saying that I am the way, what Jesus is saying, there is no other way to heaven. And Jesus is also separate from typical man. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus had a unique way of presenting himself to all of those that he came in contact with. When Jesus taught his Father's word, we know that Jesus taught the word in such a way because when he was 12 years old, Jesus was in the synagogues and he was bringing his Father's word to the chief priests. Jesus and the men were saying, "We've never heard anybody to speak like this." So we have to get it within our hearts and minds this morning that Jesus is separate from regular manhood because he is God. He was God in the flesh, and he came to do great and mighty things, and he was the only one that could invade the heart of man. He is the only one who could turn us from our sinful ways. He was the only one that could become a sin offering. He was the sacrificial lamb who was nailed to the cross, shed his blood, died on that cross, but on the third day he rose again, and after almost 40 days of being upon the earth, ascended back into heaven to take his seat at the right hand of God the Father. And today those words hold very true. When Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me," he means exactly what he says. You can come to church your whole life, You can fill out the membership card. You can go to Sunday school. You can speak God's word. You can do everything under God's power and authority. But if you don't have Jesus, if you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you are not going to get into heaven. You will not stand at the pearly gates of heaven, and you will not deal or try to barter with God when it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. See, we don't know what our life holds before us. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We don't know anything about our life, but God the Father does. That's why everything about Jesus makes Him the greatest of all. The first thing about the truth that I want to look at this morning is that the world cannot see it. In John chapter 8, verses 32 through 34, Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." So, the world refers to people who live in the flesh, people who live daily in their sins. And people who live in sin are blinded to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the one thing that the devil wants to do to every single person is the devil wants to... And here's why they're blind. It's not a physical blindness, but they're blind because they cannot see the love of Jesus as His children can see it. And the devil wants to keep everybody in darkness. The devil wants to keep you and I away from the truth of His love. Because the devil knows that the more and more people that hear about Jesus and the more people that get saved and baptized and join the church and that they start to witness, the devil knows that he's going to have less and less that will join him in hell and be cast into a lake of fire. So the devil will do everything that he can to blind you. He will try to get people to stay out of church. He will try to get people of the world to stay away from Christians. And one thing I've heard Christians say is, "I don't like to witness because people think I'm weird." Well, you know what? Let them think I'm weird all that they want. I would rather people think that I am weird. I'd rather be thought of as weird than to lose my place in heaven. I would rather let people know that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. See, you and I are a light in the world. If we are Christians, we are known by the light that resides within us because of this. In God, there is no darkness. God is light. God is love. The Bible says it. In Him, there is no darkness. If you are a child of God, then the light will shine out of you and you should not blend in with the world. When you are a child of God, you should not want to sin. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil, and that means, Christian people, that we should run far away from anybody who is involved in the things of the world, the things of the flesh. And I tell you what, now Christians have a fight every day between the spirit and the flesh, but you have a choice. If you give in to the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty and you live according to His Word and you cling close to God, you will abide with Him. His words will remain in you. And the more that you live for the Lord, the stronger you will become. And it is easier every day to live in His light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, I want to read from a different translation. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So see, people of the world are blinded in their minds. They don't know Jesus. There's a lot of people who hear it, but they're afraid to receive it because they have no... I had somebody tell me one time, "Well, I just don't believe in the Lord, and I just want you to leave me alone about it." And I turned to witness to this man, and I said, "Look, you have no idea what you're talking about." I said, "The devil wants you to believe that there's no hope for you in this life." And I shared with him that if you would receive Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, you will die and you will stand before the Lord and you will spend all of eternity in heaven. And there are so many Christians and so many pastors right now there's other preachers in the pulpits all around Southern Illinois. Now, I know our time zones are a little different in other states. So right now, there's someone standing in a pulpit and they're sharing this word with the world. And that's exactly what you and I as Christians are to be doing, is taking that light into a dark world and sharing what Christ has done for you. Because you know what? When you share with others what Jesus has done in your life, how He changed you, how He washed away your sin, how He took the heaviness and shame off of you, and how much peace and joy and love He's given you. Now, the Bible doesn't say that things will always be rosy from there on out. We'll still have trials and tribulations, but Jesus is always with us. But when we share with the blind of the world, it opens up, it brings light to them. And when we start to show people and share with them the Word of God, it penetrates the heart. See, when seeds are planted and we let God take care of watering the seed and making sure that that seed grows, God will make sure that a bountiful harvest will happen. And we are at a time right now, more than any other, that Jesus Christ is close to coming back. Excuse me. The rapture of the church is about to take place any day now. And when that happens, I don't want to see anybody left behind. It is up to you and I to go into the world and preach to those who are being held captive. Because when we preach the word of the Lord to those that are held in captivity of sin, they will be released from that captivity the moment they receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and then their life will forever be changed. Acts 26:18 says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." We have one calling in this world, Christian people, to make fishers of men. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." The Lord didn't say, "Show up for church and see who you can outdo by how well you can dress or how well you can sing or how well you can speak." I don't believe in getting in this pulpit and bringing you a message that's been rehearsed, that's been nicely laid out, you know, coming from me. That's not what I believe in. I believe in bringing you the Word of the Lord by the Holy Spirit's power. Because when God's Word goes forth, His Word goes forth in boldness, and it is life-changing. Some people today, Christian people, need their eyes opened. There are Christian people who somewhere along the way put their lamp under a bushel and they're trying to hide it from the world. But there's a lot of Christian people need to get their eyes open today. What I'm talking about is you need to start seeing where you're headed, what your life is like. Are you producing the fruit that you should be producing? Are you telling people about Jesus wherever you go? Where, you know, there's times in times past, jobs I worked, you weren't allowed to talk about the Lord. But you know what? I didn't care. I didn't. I thought, let them fire me. If I'm preaching the love of Jesus to somebody and they get saved and it got to the boss's ears and I got let go, then God would put me, I know, in a different job. I don't care what the world thinks of me. I really don't. What I do, what I am concerned about is what the Lord thinks of me as His child. But once the love of the Lord comes into to the darkness of a sinner's life, that darkness is done away with and the light of the Lord starts to shine through them. Another thing about the truth of the Lord, the world cannot stand it. Jesus was killed. Jesus was nailed to a cross because the world didn't like what He was doing. They didn't like the fact that He was healing those who were sick and paralyzed, who had blind eyes, who couldn't hear and couldn't walk. They didn't like it that people's lives were being transformed. They didn't like that Jesus was going around telling everybody that He was the King, the Son of God. They thought that He was just flapping His mouth. They thought He was crazy. And they wanted to get rid of it. And that's what people want to do today. They want to try to get rid of Jesus. Our government, yeah, I've been hearing this lately. Well, you know, our government trying to take away our religious freedom. No, they're not. They might try, but you know what? I do believe that God still has His hand upon this nation, and it's not up to us to keep walking around wondering and worrying about what's going to take place in days ahead. But we need to be out there like Jesus was. And if people reject you, then you know what? It's not on you, it's on them. If you go and share the love of the Lord, if you witness and you tell others about Christ, and they reject it, then they are the ones who have decided to stay on the path that they've been walking. And all you can do as a Christian is to keep on witnessing and praying for them. Keep on loving. You know what? Love is the one thing that will always get results. It sure will. They ridiculed and mocked Jesus as they took Him to trial. As they beat Him, as they put a crown of thorns upon His head and said, well, here's your king. And they spat upon Him and they hit Him. And yet He stayed on the cross after He was nailed to it. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't understand that kind of love. I cannot wrap this human brain around what the Lord has done for me. But this, I was reading in my Bible reading this morning in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. The Lord was saying, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And what that means is you and I can't comprehend on the human level the great things of God. We will never understand everything of the Lord as long as we live in this flesh. The one thing we do need to do, though, is we need to start aligning ourselves with the Word of God. And we need to start asking the Lord to reveal Himself to us in mighty ways. And I'll say this, when the Lord gets a hold of your life and He gets you right where He wants you to be, things will start to happen. I don't want to stay in my little safe and secure spot. I don't want to be... Well, Peter got out of the boat, but then he sank because he gave up to fear. But see, but Peter took a step out of the boat. People today are afraid to get out of the boat, and they're afraid to walk toward the Lord. I witnessed to someone about being a Christian and to get saved, and they said, "No, I don't want none of that." And I said, "Well, why not? What is it?" And the person said to me, "Well, if I get saved, the Lord's probably going to send me across the seas to some foreign country, and I'll be sitting in a little grass hut." And I said, "So? What if He does? It's for His honor and His glory that we do what we do. Wherever God plants us, wherever God wants to use us to share Jesus, we should do it with a joyful and a glad heart, and we should never hold inside of us the gift that He's given to us." And the one thing that the world can't stand and that they don't want to become a Christian, people will call me names. Well, you know what I'd say? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can't touch me. I'm sheltered in the arms of the Lord Almighty. You know, I invited some people yesterday to come to church. Well, they're not here this morning. I can't tell you how much I've gotten that in that right. If he knows what I'm talking about. I'm sure everybody else here has invited people to come to church, and then they don't show up, and then go, "Well, why?" You know, then we get upset. Well, you know what? We can't get upset. We have to continue to love these people. But I know that if I don't give up, if I keep marching forward, if I keep loving, if I keep inviting, and if I keep sharing the gospel message, then I know that in the Lord's timing, He will move. See, that's one thing we have to do also in separating ourselves from the world is everything happens in God's time, not our time. We always get in a hurry, don't we? We want a microwave gospel. That's kind of what we're at now. And I told you a few weeks ago, I hear these preachers on TV. Well, if you can think it, it'll happen. Not real. Where does it say in the Bible, if you think it, it'll happen? It doesn't say that. And preachers today are telling people how to get rich. Really, they are. You turn on any TV episode, and this is the one thing that the world is doing, is there are preachers on there who will brag about their houses. They will brag about their cars. They will brag about how much money they've got, and they're still drawn. I won't say another word. They're just sucking the life out of people is what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. They're feeding people in churches today these false hopes, and nobody's preaching salvation anymore. And then you got churches going, "Well, why are we not having baptisms like we used to?" Well, when the preachers quit getting in the pulpit and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they quit preaching about salvation, and they start talking to you about having a good, joyous, comfortable life, then guess what? You won't have the baptisms. You won't see the salvations. You won't see the people growing in Christ. I was talking to another pastor Thursday night, him and his wife, and they were discouraged. And I asked him, "Well, what's going on at your church?" "Well, everybody shows up. Nobody gets excited. And nobody does nothing. Nobody comes to the altar." And I said, "Well, what do you get so discouraged about?" See, if I get in this pulpit and I think that church ought to go how I think it ought to go, well, that's a pretty sad thing right there. That's why every Sunday when I head to church, I say, Father, I surrender this service to you, and I want you to move how you need to move, and I want you to let everything go according to your plan today. Not me, because if I wanted everything my way, I would be pretty disappointed. But I'm not, listen to this closely, I'm not the one who died on the cross. So please, don't ever expect things to be done the preacher's way. Don't. Always expect everything to be the Lord's way. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because Jesus will never fail. But I talked to this young pastor and I said, look, you and your wife keep serving. You and your wife keep praying. And don't give up. Now, I know people go to church. Okay, now I'm just going to shut up. I'm not even going to go there. I don't want to sound like I'm judging, but I will say this. We don't need to come to church and run around the church sanctuary and jump over the seats and scream and holler and flop all over the floor to have an experience with God. The experience that you have with God is what's going on inside of your heart and life, not what your neighbor's doing or what kind of a spiritual movement they're having. Now, I believe, I'm going to say this, I believe that when God starts moving in people's hearts and we start surrendering to that, I believe that God can move in any way that He wants to in a service. And I'm telling you what, I believe that God could bring people to the altar and bring them to their knees, because that, I believe, is a true move of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I've said it. And I didn't sound judgmental, I hope. And lastly, we are going to suffer for the truth. Jesus said in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So don't think of it as a surprise when people reject you or people turn against you. Like I told you a couple weeks ago, I witnessed to my mother-in-law so many times to have her turn her face away from me and not speak to me for weeks. But I didn't go away with my lip dragging the floor and my heart down in the basement. Every time we would go back over there, I would walk up in front of my mother-in-law and say, hello, Mom, I love you. And she wouldn't speak nothing to me. And sadly, it happened a lot. But it didn't keep me from loving her. It didn't keep me from still telling her about Jesus. And when she didn't want to hear it, I showed it with my life. I showed it with my actions. They always say that actions speak louder than words, and that a lot of times that's very true. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. You're going to go to places, and I'll tell you this, when I pastored a church up West Frankfort, I had a man live next door to the church, and he'd sit out there in his garage every day. I don't know how many beers he drank, but if he was outside, he'd say, hey, preacher, come over here for a minute. All right. I'd go walk from the church across the street to his house. I just want to tell you, I'm going to come to church Sunday. I said, well, all right. I wouldn't hold him to it because I knew every week it was the same thing. Well, one day, I went over to his house to go witness to him. Wasn't nobody home. Him and his wife were both gone. And I thought, I know exactly where they are. So I got in my car, and I drove into town. And right there at one of the bars, I saw that man's truck sitting there. And I got out of my car. I walked into the front door of that bar. And there was people lined up along through there. You know what they do in bars. You can probably imagine. And as soon as I walked in there, I heard that man say, holy cow, what is the preacher doing in here? And everybody's eyes were on me. You talk about feeling the hate of the whole place. I felt it. And I went right up to him and his wife and started to witness to him in the church. See, sometimes when we feel like we're being hated, we don't want to go to these places and say anything to anybody. We want to just say, well, I'll just keep my tongue tied and I'll keep my lips closed and I won't say anything to these. But if you give up on people, you're giving the devil another victory. That's what you're doing. But from there, after I witnessed to them, I went up to the bar. I saw the girl working behind the bar and I started to witness to her. And she started to receive what I was saying to her. And when she told me she wanted to go to church, she'd been thinking about it until the owner come out. And the owner said, I don't know who you are, what you're doing here, but get out. And I said, sir, I hope you know that Jesus Christ loves you. And I did. I politely turned myself, went right out of that bar. And you know what? I didn't care what people said about me being in that bar, but I told the church I was in that bar. I was not there for any other reason but to drink. If you ever see me coming out of a bar, you know it's not because I was in there drinking, because I am the type of guy who will go into the dark places to share the love of Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus went to places that other people would not go so that he could love on them and that their lives could be changed. But see, in order to make through, we have to be strong in the Lord, and we cannot deny him. We have to give everything to the Lord. We have to trust God in every way. You know, what God says in this word that he will do, he will do it. But you know what he needs us to be? The Lord needs us to be conductors of his word and his works and not resistors. Too many Christians today are resisting against this. We go to church, and here's one thing we hear. This is what we see a lot of.
I wonder how much longer he's going to preach. I got things I want to do after church.
Really, it happens. But what's going on in the pulpit? You know what's going on here at church? We ought to have our eyes open and our hearts open and say, Lord, whatever it takes today, however long I need to be here, however long you speak to us, Lord, I will listen. I want to receive from you, Father. That's the only way that we're going to keep that light burning.